basically, at the end of the parsha,
so we
have the Aleppo, we have the war between the five kings, four kings. Then at the end of the parsha, Yishmael is born. Then all the way at the end, Hashem commands Avraham mitzvah bris milah. And Pasuk says, "V'shalich lefanai v'hayei tamim," to go in front of me, before me, and be tamim. What does tamim mean? Perfect, wholesome, complete, something like that. So there's notion of being tamimus, right? It says in Sefer Dvarim, "Tamim tiyeh im Hashem lekecha." We're told, we're commanded to be tamim. So what's tamimus? So there are a couple different approaches in tamimus, which I found to be very interesting. I want to present maybe three of them. Number one is Avram. We call him Avram Avinu, Avram Ivri, we've mentioned earlier in class. But we're all ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. It's a nice song. They'll probably sing it next door in class. But the notion is we're all ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, which means what?
How does it go?
We're all believers. We're all believers, right? And who do we go back to? Who was the first?
Avram
Avinu. He was the first believer. He was the first ma'amin, right? We heard from Rabbi Josh Robinson earlier in the week that he asked his question at 3 years old, right? And he found Hashem when he was 40, right? Always asking questions. But we view him as the first believer, the first monotheist. So what does it mean? And we assume that he, right, he was nichnas, many people, tachas kanfei Hashkina, he was megayer and showed monotheism to many people in the world. So how does one do that? How does one accomplish that? So I think you have to walk the walk.
Monotheism to so many people, and like, we have followers and stuff. Why do we not have, like, Jews that are, like...
Awesome question. We're going to get to it in 2 weeks. That's on the, it's on the docket. I have an awesome idea. We'll get back to it. It's a very good question. Awesome question. I love it. So there's an idea that the Rabbeinu Bechaya says. He says that Avram didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. Meaning what? There are two different ways one can teach or learn emuna. You can have like an intellectual, rational, logical approach to emuna, where you learn it. Does it make sense? Yes, great. But if you only have the intellectual component, there's something maybe lacking. Because you have to have the existential, you have to have a living emuna also. You have to live your life with emuna. In order to pass on emuna to other people, right, to just lecture emuna doesn't really fully do it. You have to really live a life of emuna. Right? When a parent lives a life of emuna, so they pass it on to their children. Hopefully when a teacher lives and acts with emuna, it passes it on to his or her students. And the notion is, we have this phrase in Maseches Nedarim that piv v'libo shavim, that his mouth and his heart were equal. Literally, as it's translated. The idea is that he's not saying one thing and thinking another thing, or saying one thing and maybe doing another thing. But rather, he was walking the walk and not just talking the talk. So when he does that, he lives a life of emuna, so he was able to give over emuna to all these people who he brought close to Hashem. And that's what it means that he was tamim. He was wholesome in what? Not just talking, but also walking, following through, and not just talking it up, but also walking the walk. So that's one idea of tamimus. The second idea of tamimus is by the Shem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel is a very cool idea. Someone said they wanted more Chassidus Shatorah here. So the Shem Yishmuel is Sechet Shavu Rebbe. So the Shem Yishmuel says something very cool. He says there's a phrase in Chazal, in Chassidus, known as Mikarev Biyamin. You bring people in with the right, and you're Doche Bismol, you push away with the left. If anybody follows college football, that's kind of like the Heisman Trophy pose, where he holds it, the football on his right. And I just thought about that this morning. Okay, you bring it close to the right, and you push away with the left. Fine, so what's Pshat in that? What's that to do with Avram and his tamimus? And especially if you look at Rashi on that pasuk, Rashi says that Avram Avinu was only tamim after he got his bris milah. That means Avram, who is the man, right? His whole entire life didn't have this title of tamimus until he got a bris milah. So we're commanded, as I said in Sefer Dvarim, tamim tiyeh mishon lekecha. So like, if Avram wasn't tamim until like later on in his life, so what do we do? What's tamimus mean? How can we be tamim? So he says Avram is known. We said Avram Avinu, Avram Ivri. Avram was the mamin. What else did he do? Avram Ish Chesed. Avram Ish Chesed. We know him for Achnas Zorach, bringing people into his tent. And he would bring everybody in, bring everybody in, bring everyone in. And that's really good, and that's great. But there was something lacking a little bit. Because he was Mekarev B'yamin all the time. But says the Shem Yishmuel, there was something maybe lacking, if you can say this, he suggests it. That maybe he wasn't so good at pushing people away, or saying no. And that's represented, hold on, we'll get there, it's represented by the bris milah. Because the bris milah is taking a part of the body that isn't supposed to be there and cutting it away and saying, we don't want this anymore. This is an extra, it's excess, it's not right, we don't want it. It's a good point. Gemara talks about that because we need to be mashlim the bria. We're partners with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in completing the world. So Avram Avinu, up until his milah, was bringing, he was always makari, he was always bringing people close. But says the Shem Yishmael, he's lacking a little bit in pushing away. And that's what the bris milah represents, right? There's an old country song, and someone just told me it's a Geico commercial now, knowing when to hold them and when to fold them. Maybe it's that Geico commercial?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never seen it. But the notion is that you can't always be saying yes. You can't be a yes man or a yes woman in this case, right? We have to know when to say no to people sometimes, or when to say, no, I shouldn't be doing this, right? Not always just be saying yes. So the notion that we have to bring close, but also to say no, and that's really gives person a sense of shlemus. Wholesomeness means that you know what to do, and you also know what you shouldn't be doing, or what we shouldn't be doing. So that's another explanation of tamimus. So we have the Rabbeinu Bachai, who says not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. And we have the Shem Yishmael, who says knowing when to hold them and when to fold them. The last idea I found last night was from Rav Hirsch. He says in Sefer Shemos and Parshas Bo, referring to the Karban Pesach, that the little sheep or lamb that we bring has to be tamim. It has to be whole. So in the context of karbanos, a whole animal, tamim, right? A set tamim.
Wait, is tamim whole or perfect?
Hmm?
Is tamim whole or perfect?
I think it's a tough word to translate. Wholesome or complete or perfect, I think, are all fine translations. But what's it like mean for us, I guess, is what we're trying to say. What does it mean to be tamim? How can we be tamim? So Rav Hirsch says that when we have an animal that's whole, it doesn't mean that it's just a perfect animal in a physical sense, right? An animal can't have a mum, it can't have a blemish, it can't have any kind of wound on it. But it needs to be wholesome in another sense. And when you bring a karbon, right, we've been speaking a lot about kavan in the context of Hilchos Shabbos, so karbonos also have a component or an element of kavana as well. And that element of kavana means that the guy who's bringing a karbon and the kohen who's offering the karbon need to know the purpose of this karbon. Otherwise it's possible. Correct. If you have a...
It's like, isn't there like a thing that's like kachin kalim versus kachin kachin?
Yeah, yeah, very good. The Mishnayos and Zvachim deal with that. There you go. There you go. So it's all about, and Sham Shadam Aliyah, the idea is that if you have the wrong kavana, oh, this karbon is supposed to be a chatas, and you bring it as a shlomim, or the different cases of swapping the kavanas for the karbon, so it could passel, it could invalidate the karbon. Okay? So it says Rav Hirsch, what does it mean to be tamim? Tamim means to know in a complete and total sense what your job is. What are you trying to do? What is your purpose? What is your mission? So for us to be tamim, right? Hisalech lefanai v'heyei tamim. Walk with me or walk before me and be complete or whole or perfect, however you want to say that. And in Sefer Zvarim, tamim tia im Hashem lokecha. To be tamim means to know what our tafkid is, know what we're trying to do in this world. And to always have that on your mind. To always be thinking. And just like the Kohen always has to know why he's bringing this carbon. And the Bala Boss, the Bala Carbon, needs to know what the purpose of the carbon is for. So to us in our daily lives, in Avodas Hashem, we have to think, okay, what am I trying to do? And that should permeate every single thing that we're doing. Whether it's in school, whether it's out of school, extracurriculars, anything that we do, we have to think, okay, how does this fit into the larger picture of my Avodas Hashem? That's what it means to be tum, to be completely consumed, let's call it. Completely consumed with this thought of, okay, how am I going to serve Hashem? So those are three approaches to tamimus. We have, first of all, again, Rabbeinu Chai, don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And that's how Avram was able to pass on Amunah to everybody. Pivali Boshavin. We have the Shem Yishmuel, who said you have to know how to hold them and how to fold them. Right? You have to know what to do. When are you going to be Makariv? And when are you going to be Doche? And then we have this last idea from Rav Hirsch, who says Tamimus means that there's this completely and totally consuming thought of what is the mission here. And those are three approaches to Tamimus. So that's the idea on this week's Parsha.